Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back, everybody. A new series. I'm glad to see everybody here and everybody there. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Obrigado. Grazie. Merci. Gracias. Toda. Arigato. Danke. Mahalo. Yes. Here's one. Here's one for you. Spasibo. I don't even know what language that is.
Russian.
Thank you. Very good. Dao die. I think that might be Chinese. Or Thai, something like that. Yeah. Many, many ways to say.
Xie xie is Chinese.
How is it?
Xie xie.
Xie xie.
Xie xie. That's Chinese.
Okay.
And you have to get it in your nose.
I have to get it up in my nose?
Yeah.
I can do that. Yeah, so thank you. All different ways to say thank you from around the world for you this morning. So we are coming up. Why do I do that? We're coming up on Thanksgiving 2020. Yay. Is everybody really excited? Woo. Yeah, right? I think you're confused. More than any time in history that I can think of, or than any other year that we've been through, we actually, you know, a lot of us probably have some pretty legit reasons to be unhappy or discouraged or disappointed, right? If you're watching this 20 years from now, you need to go back and, you know, get into your dictionary, your Google, whatever. I don't know if Google's going to exist 20 years from now. Who knows? Find out some way to look up in your history COVID. And then you'll understand what we're talking about, right? How many of our sentences in the past 7 to 8 months have ended with these three words? But then COVID, right? I mean, you start thinking through them, right? This is for Patricia and I. We had our 25th anniversary trip to Italy planned for the spring,
but then
COVID, right? We had our best financial year ever as a business, but then COVID. You know, we had such great community and fellowship with great group of friends that we really could get deep with and spend lots of time with, and then COVID, right? How about this one? Our marriage was in a really pretty good place, but then COVID, and we got locked in the same house for 8 months, and the wheels came off, right? But then COVID, or before COVID, and then add in whatever your thing is. I know we've all had sentences like that. We repeat them all the time. And if you guys are like me, you might say, and probably with some good reason, Lord, I have a good reason to be legitimately upset, unhappy, discouraged, disappointed. And I don't think that's something that we need to be ashamed of, or, you know, that it's unchristian. No, I can't say that. I'm going to consider it all joy, right? If you look at the Psalms, and that's where Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, I look at those and one of the things, one of many things I draw from that is that God is okay. He's not intimidated or upset by our discouragement or our disappointment. He's big enough to take that. But what does he say to us in response? And that's kind of where we're going. What is his answer? Does the Father ever say, like I would say to my kids, suck it up, buttercup? Right? Or how I often want to say in counseling situations, like, all right, so the answer is just suck it up and do the right thing. Okay, next. Does he ever say, well, you know, it's not so bad. It's not as bad as you think. Look at the bright side. Is that how God responds to us in those situations? I don't think so. However, the Apostle Paul, the Spirit through the Apostle Paul, see if I can get my slides to work here, maybe not, says, and then I'll go over and check on it, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 18, very familiar passage, right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So, in the next couple of weeks, what we want to focus on is gratitude. And so we're going to answer some questions this week. The questions we're going to answer this week are, what is thankfulness, first of all, biblically speaking? What is gratitude? Why should we have it? Why should we be thankful? And then what should we be thankful for? Those three questions. And then next week, we're going to try to answer these questions. How do I cultivate true thankfulness? And then how can an attitude of gratitude strengthen my family, strengthen my marriage? So that's kind of where we're going over the next couple of weeks. Did you figure something out there?
I see the slide here. I just want to see it there.
Okay. I'm going to walk over here for a second. It's the nice thing about this. Oh, I know why. Because we're not... I didn't hit play. That would be good. That helps. There we go. Technical difficulties. All right. So this is, I just want to show this picture just for fun. You can't see it. That's terrible. Oh, well. If you could see the picture, this is one of my favorite Thanksgiving memories. This is from when we were in Brazil. Now, obviously, in Brazil, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving because they didn't have pilgrims. Anyway, So on Thanksgiving Day, it was just a normal work day for everybody else. So life was completely normal. There was school and all those kinds of things. No football games or anything. But when we would try to maintain for our kids some kind of, you know, normalcy and tradition, and so they would stay connected to their American culture. And so we went out and tried to find stuff for Thanksgiving. So we ended up with having turkey sandwiches. We had sliced turkey and cheese. That's what's up there. That's the only thing we could find because there were literally no turkeys to be found anywhere in our town. And then if you can't really see it very well, but in the end of the table up there, we took a piece of a small French bread roll, and then we got some feathers, and we stuck feathers in the back of it, and then we made like a little head, a little beak, and that was our turkey. So he was sitting at the French bread turkey, was sitting at one end of the table, and... that was us at Thanksgiving. And I was very thankful for that. I was very grateful that we had that time. Right? So this is our passage that we're going to kind of unpack here. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So the first question is why? And this is the easiest question. Why should we have gratitude? Why should we give thanks? Because it's God's will for us. It's really that simple. And I know there's some things that are really complicated, and you go like, I don't know why I should do that. Well, God says, be thankful in all circumstances. Why? Well, because it's my will for you in Christ Jesus that you be thankful. Pretty simple and straightforward. But God doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't just say, be thankful, like my suck it up buttercup, right? He doesn't say, be thankful. He gives us then reasons that we should be thankful. And when we think about things that we're thankful for, we oftentimes will think about the earthly blessings that we're thankful for. And we attach those things to tangible things that we're thankful for. But before I dive into that, let me just... we did this last year, and if you weren't with us last year, you don't remember it, so I'll repeat it. The words that we use for thankful or giving thanks in Scripture. So in the New Testament, in the Greek, the word that's translated giving thanks is Eucharisteo, right? Is to give thanks, or being thankful is Eucharistos. Now, where does that word sound? Does anybody have recognize that word from use somewhere? The Eucharist, right? The Lord's Supper, communion. And so think about this. Every time that we have communion together, we are having a small Thanksgiving dinner. That's really what that is. We're giving thanks through that. Now, in the Old Testament, the word for thanks that we translate to give thanks is yada. Right? So it would be like, for us, it would be like Y-A-D-A-H, yada. And this one is really interesting because what yada means is it's used for to throw something, right? Like a rock or to throw like a spear. But it carries with it the idea of like the throwing of hands. And it's used to like the lifting up of your hands. So when you think about that, why am I lifting up my hands? When we worship, why do I lift up my hands? What am I doing? What is that? Well, that's yada. That's I'm throwing up my thanks. That's the imagery there. I'm throwing up thanks. I'm raising my hands to throw up thanks to God. So yada, when you think about that,
To throw
to throw upwards, not to throw up, not to vomit up things. I'm using my hands here, folks. Thanks. That's my wife. Just for anyone on screen that can't hear, that can't see who's saying those things. There you go. Thank you from the Peanut Gallery. And when it's used, like, to give thanks, it's used 139 different times in Scripture. I looked it up, that we're told to give thanks. It's always directed at God. It's never directed at other people, which is kind of interesting. And when we think about it, like I said, we usually think about the earthly, tangible things that we have to give thanks for. So there is the first stop of the pumpkin of thankfulness. It went to the Leibowitz first. I don't know where it is right now, but that's where it went first. And if you look at the things that we wrote on the pumpkin, we wrote down things like, good health, a good job, financial success, happiness in our family. Maybe we talk about fellowship, but we usually talk about the blessings or the benefits of, that we enjoy as God's children. But we have to think through sort of the next step. What if you don't have those things? Or what if you had them but they were taken away? Then what? Does God's command to be thankful in all circumstances, to give thanks in all circumstances, does that change? I think about this pastor, when Patricia and I were talking about this message, we thought about this pastor that we know in the Amazon. And we went, one of the years that we went down to the pastor's conference there, and he came in and we were just talking and trying to hear about how was his year. And I was like, what kind of year did you have? And he was like, oh, I had a great year. It was really good. And I'm like, wow, that's great. Tell me about your year. And he said, well, when the floodwaters came in, it washed away our church. And I was translating for Pastor Minner at the time. And I translated that to Pastor Minner, and he said, wait, what? And yet this man, his church that he had spent, that labored to build this building, the church building, not the church, but the church building was swept away. And Mike, through my translation, asked him, how is that a good year? And he said, the church grew and we were able to recover a lot of the wood and, we're rebuilding, but the church has been blessed and it's been a good year. So think about that. What if you're the pastor whose church washes away in a flood? Right? What if you're the family that's lost a job or lost a loved one or had somebody fall ill or has a child struggling with addiction? Or maybe you're being, in our current cultural climate, maybe you're being ostracized or canceled because of your faith. What about you? What do you have to be grateful for? What do we have to be grateful for in that situation? And yet, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So what does God say that we have to be thankful for, regardless of where we are and what's going on in our current circumstance? What are the things that God tells us that we can be thankful for? I want to go through five today. And then I would love for you guys, again, at your tables, if you've got ones to add to this, please do. And we're going to talk about how each of these has played out in your own life, or maybe ones that you struggle with. So I'll go start with the first one. The first one is God's presence. Of the things that we have to be thankful for, we talk about the gospel. The gospel is good news. What is good about the good news? The best news about the good news isn't our forgiveness per se. It's not our redemption per se. Because all of those things just allow for what is actually the good thing about the good news, and that is God's presence, that we are allowed to be in the presence of God and that his presence dwells with us and in us. That's the good thing about the good news. That is something to be thankful for. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, behold, and I am with you until the end of the age. John 14:16, Jesus tells the disciples, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Right? To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And as children, we have the presence of our Heavenly Father. And then this passage, which I love, you have Colossians 1, 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness. We've been brought into the kingdom of light. We have God's presence, and we are permitted to come into his presence. Or if you look in other places, right, we're allowed to approach the throne of grace now, boldly, because of the blood of Jesus. We're allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, into the what? The presence of God, and to seek mercy in our time of need. This is a tremendous list of things to be thankful for, is it not? I was driving, have you guys, you know the song, There Was Jesus? It's somebody's name I can't remember, in Dolly Parton. You guys heard that song? It's real popular on the radio. I might play it for us at the end here. But I was, you know, the next time you hear that song on the radio, think back on all of the ways that God's presence in your life, even in difficult, dark times, has anchored you and impacted you. And I can't listen. If I think about that while I'm listening to that song, I need the box of tissues. I mean, it's a tremendous thing that God has done for us beyond our comprehension. And it's something that I fear we often walk around through our day-to-day lives not actually being consciously thankful for. And so whenever we have moments that we can be, we should be. We should be reminded of these things. So God is with us. That's the number one biggest thing to be thankful for. The second one is that God has placed us in a family of faith. God has given us a family of faith. Psalm 68 says he places the lonely in families. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. You know, I've been a part of the spiritual family at Reston Bible Church for more than 23 years, coming up on 24 years. And that this family of faith for me is a cause to be thankful. And I know a lot of you guys maybe have not been here that long, maybe some longer. But if you stop and you think about what does it mean to be part of this family of faith, it's cause for thanksgiving. It's cause for an attitude of gratitude. When I think about our times of trial and struggle that we've had as a family or in our marriage, it's, you know, the fact that we have been provided with brothers and sisters in Christ here in this family to bear burdens with us, to pray with us, to encourage us, to weep with us, has been one of the greatest blessings for our family through the years, right? When COVID or things like it or other crises hit, we know that we have a family of faith that will stand with us, right? So you think about Paul, you know, in Paul in his letters, he talks in his writing to the church, he often says, I give thanks to God for you. I give thanks to God for you. And then he goes on to talk about why, but it's things like, because of your concern for me, because of your partnership. I thank God for you, for your partnership in the gospel. God has placed us in a family of faith. That's something to be tremendously thankful for. And if you're not, I mean, you're here, so at a minimum, you're connected into this group at a deeper level. I hope that outside of Homefront that you're connected with other brothers and sisters here, whether that's other brothers and sisters in this group that you also connect with during the week, that you can call if you're struggling with something or if you've got a question or if you have a need. People that you can lean on, that can lean on you if you're in a shepherd group. If you don't, right, those are the things that you, those connections and the connections that you have to your family of faith are things that you need to build up when times are good, so that when the storm comes, you've got people there with you that can weather the storm with you. So we give thanks because God's placed us in a family of faith. How about this one? We give thanks because God is sovereign over everything, and he loves us. I always say that, you know, God's sovereignty and his omnipotence alone are fearful things. If God was only sovereign and omnipotent, and only sovereign and all-powerful, he would just be terrifying. But when you combine those two things with the fact that God is also all-loving, that is something tremendous that should give us tremendous comfort and something that we should be able to give thanks for. Right? Jesus said, in this life you will have trouble, but take courage or take heart. I have overcome the world. Romans 8:28. And we know that God works all things together for good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So God is sovereign. He's going to work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And this is one of my favorite verses also. Romans 8:38, 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from what? From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And those two passages, we know that God works all things together for good, and nothing will separate us from his love. Those are only separated from each other by a few verses. So God's sovereignty and his love for us go hand in hand. And those two attributes of his character, his sovereign power and his endless love working together are the greatest comfort to me in times of trouble. When I can't see what's coming around the bend, when I don't know when this pandemic's going to end, when I don't know when we're going to be able to give up masks and go back to just being normal people again, when I don't know what's going to happen on Tuesday or after Tuesday or the day after Tuesday, right? When I don't know those things and I can become anxious about those things, the thing that I can return to all the time is that God is in control, God is sovereign, he is all-powerful, and his love for me is endless. It's endless, and I cannot, under any circumstances, be separated from it because I'm in Christ. Now, if that's not something to give thanks for and to have a heart of gratitude about, regardless of what the circumstances are, then I don't know what is. So we can give thanks, we should give thanks because of God's sovereignty and his love. And this is the fourth one. We have hope. We have a true hope. Not a hope like I hope, you know, the Steelers win the Super Bowl, which is actually looking pretty good right now, even though I haven't watched any games due to my boycott of the NFL this year. Maybe after the election I'll start watching again. I don't know. We'll see. But we have a true hope. Not a hope like that. Not a wishful thinking hope. We have a true hope. We have a city that we're looking forward to. Like Abraham, we're looking forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. Have any of you guys ever run a 10-mile or more race? Anybody here? Okay, so you'll relate to this. So when you start off in the race, if you're like me, in the beginning, like the first half of the race, you're kind of enjoying the scenery and the excitement of the moment, and you're looking at all the people, and it's pretty great. The second half of the race, you're just like repeating this mantra over and over again in your head, don't stop, right? Because your legs are burning. And all you can do is imagine the finish line. So you spend the second half, you're not even looking at what's around you anymore. You're just thinking about the finish line and what's there, right? Some rest. Like, I just want to enter into the rest on the other side of that finish line. And then when you actually see the finish line, I don't know where it comes from, right? But all of a sudden, you've got like this extra juice in your legs that wasn't there before. And you're like, yeah, I got to get there. And so you just kind of take off for the finish line. I think about that, and I think about our life in this world and the way that we are going through this world. I do think that it's important to look around, to enjoy what God has created, to be in awe of the things that he's done, to pay attention to the people that are around you, that you can love on them, to be aware of what God is doing around you so you can participate in his work. But I also think it's important to keep in mind the finish line and to not... you know, stop, to sprint through the end. Because God has said that there is a reward awaiting us, right? Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. This is Jesus speaking. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. Not I might, I will come to you again, to take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. That you may be also. In 1 Peter 1, 3-4, says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And we think about Hebrews 11:16 again, talking about Abraham, the man of great faith. He said, instead, Abraham and others, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Right? So we have reason to be thankful because there is treasure laid up for us in heaven if we are in Christ. If we're in Christ, we are no longer under wrath. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? It also says it is appointed for man once to die and then the judgment. But we don't have to fear that anymore. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The things that we've done in this world will be weighed. But our eternal salvation won't be based on that. Because we are now no longer under wrath. But we are in Christ. So we don't have to fear that. That is a reason for gratitude. So no matter what happens, right? If I walk out, and this is going to be the proverbial if I get run over by a bus story, right? If I walk out the door and get run over by a bus, I can know, and I know with absolute certainty, that I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I will be ushered into the place that Christ has prepared for me. Because I look forward to a heavenly city. I look forward to a city whose builder and maker is God. That is the hope, that hope of resurrection, that hope of eternal life that we should walk around thinking about and being thankful for no matter what the circumstances are that we find ourselves in. So we're thankful because we have a true and a living hope. And then this is the last one, and it's an important one to keep in mind while we are in this world. In Christ, we are overcomers. In Christ, we have the strength to overcome any trial. Well, we are on this earth, we have a purpose, we're here for a reason, we're not just taking up space and breathing, using up oxygen. We have a purpose, but with the purpose comes power, right? We're here on this earth with a purpose, and our purpose is to proclaim the King, the true King, Jesus, and to manifest his kingdom here on earth, right? May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and that manifests itself through God's people, you and me. We're here to grow in Christ's likeness and to help others to do the same, but along with that purpose comes the power to live in the purpose. That is something to be thankful for. I'll get to this verse in a second, but you know, a famous verse that we all go to when we're trying to share the gospel with someone usually, right? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That begs the question, what is the glory? What is the glory of God? And I think we get a clue later on from Paul where he says that about this great mystery, this rich mystery that was shown to you, those who believe, and that mystery is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, so Christ in you is the hope of glory. Without Christ, we've sinned and fallen short of the glory. Those two glories are this. He's talking about the same thing. So what is the glory? We talk about God's glory being his weightiness, his perfection, his goodness, his love is God's glory. So the two glories are the same. That glory that's Christ in us, the hope of glory, is the glory that we fell short of without Christ. So God not only saves us, he not only frees us from the power of sin and death, but also grace, right? Grace being just an unmerited gift. Any unmerited gift is grace. So whenever you hear that word, it's the grace, by grace you have been saved through faith. That faith was an unmerited gift of God's grace. Jesus and his sacrifice was an unmerited gift, right? So that's God's grace. But Paul later on talks about the grace that's given to each of us in different proportions. So it can't be the same grace that he's talking about at salvation. It's got to be some different gift. So God gives us gifts, unmerited gifts, and those gifts are to allow us to live out the purpose for which we've been called. That's amazing. So not only am I redeemed, am I freed, but now when I look at the New Testament and I look at, you know, love one another as I've loved you, and then I look at all of the descriptions of what that love looks like bearing burdens and praying for one another and forgiving one another, and on down the line of all the one another's, I can know, because if I don't have the power of Christ, if I don't have the hope of glory, which is Christ in me, I've got no hope of living out those things in any kind of a consistent way. I have no hope of growing in Christ's likeness without Christ in me. That's exciting. That's something to be thankful for. Right? We have the unmerited gift of God's grace to empower us to live and to walk in the Spirit. Right? Think about 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overcome you. Right? And then he goes on to say, yes, but God will help you to stand up under it. And he'll provide a way of escape. So it's all God's unmerited gift to us to be able to live in this world where we are going to be tempted all the time. And yet we don't have to give in to it. God says, I have given you the power to stand up under it. And that's an ongoing giving of power to stand up under it. And I've provided a way of escape for you. Later on we hear, you know, in all these things, Paul says, in all these things we are more than conquerors in Christ. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Even our ability to proclaim the kingdom is through God's grace. It's a gift. And I don't know about you guys, I've seen that strength of Christ work through other people in some pretty horrendous circumstances, some pretty tragic circumstances, and yet I've seen, and they were just normal people like you and me. And then when tragedy hit, it was like there was some other supernatural gear of grace that they shifted into where they were able to persevere and overcome through that tragedy, through that situation. And they would tell you that they don't, you know, they know where it came from, but they didn't have it prior to that. And I don't know how many of you guys have ever watched somebody in a terrible, tragic situation and go, I don't think I could do that. Well, I don't think I'd have I don't know if I'd be able to respond the way they're responding. Well, God has provided for them the grace sufficient for what they're going through. That is something to be thankful for. That is something to be thankful for. It's the power of Christ in us that's cause for thanksgiving. So, God is with us. We have God's presence. He's placed us in a family. We are loved deeply and eternally by a sovereign God. We have a true hope, an eternal hope, and we are overcomers in this life in Christ. Right? And it's that kind of understanding, deep understanding of who God is and all of his benefits to us as his redeemed children that we're to be grateful for. So when God says to be thankful in all circumstances, those are the things that should come to mind. What do we have to be grateful for? A lot. We have a lot to be grateful for, independent of our circumstances. And it's that kind of an understanding, it's that kind of thankfulness that allows James to say the things that we think of, right? Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you suffer all kinds of trials. Or when Paul looks at Paul, who had extreme trials, Paul, who lived through a very difficult time in history and was, I mean, we could just go through that list of the things that Paul's been through, but he was able to say these light and momentary afflictions. How could he say that? He could say that because he had an intimate knowledge and understanding of the things about God and what God has done for him that he can have a heart of gratefulness. Or the things that allowed Job to get up and worship after such great loss and affliction. It's the same reason why Jesus could exhort his people through these words, right? At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you. I've had to say that to my teenage daughter when she had friends that were not believers that kind of were starting to ghost her, if you know what that means, or, you know, kind of ignore her because of her faith. To go back to her and say, you know what, you need to remind yourself, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And then he says, rejoice. He says, right? yada, right? Not throw up, right? Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Not just glad, be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. There's our eternal hope. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So thankfulness is worship and reverence of God, right? For his character, who he is, and for his benefits, meaning all that he has done and continues to do on our behalf, right? Those are the root of an attitude of gratitude. So next week, we're going to answer some other questions. How do we cultivate that? How do we cultivate that gratitude in our family, in ourselves first, and then in our marriage and in our extended family? And then how can that attitude of gratitude strengthen our family? Before we go to our table discussion questions, why don't we bow our heads and thank God for the time that we've had so far. Father, thank you for your word, God, that speaks to us and continues to speak to us, your word that is powerful to transform our thoughts, the intentions of our hearts, our attitudes and our actions. Father, I pray that you would daily remind us of all of the reasons we have to be thankful. And God, that we would have that attitude, God, of thankfulness towards you. And Lord, that it would, God, that it would continue, that thankfulness in our hearts would be a part of the way that you continue to transform us in Christ's likeness. That it would carry us through all of our difficult situations, all of the trials that we face. Father, we pray for our discussion time now that it would be pleasing in your sight, that it would be edifying to each of us. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.